You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're joined in the studio by AARP New York Legislative Rep Bill Ferris, who's here to weigh in on the latest developments in the budget process as it pertains to older New Yorkers. Welcome back to the show, Bill.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you very much.
So from your perspective and the clientele that you're focused on through AARP New York, what really stands out to you as either the most exciting thing that's in this budget, either from the governor or the legislature, or that's missing from the proposals advanced by either the legislature or the governor?
We believe that the governor's proposal really shines the light in New York State on high drug costs and the impact of those high drug costs. And we think the governor did a really good job, and the Senate followed suit on that, but we were a little disappointed that in the one House budget of the State Assembly, they included no drug parency language. And that was somewhat of a surprise and disappointment.
Why is transparency something we care about?
Well, with the transparency that the governor is proposing and what the state Senate did is to require drug manufacturers, when they bring their products to New York, to tell the Department of Financial Services what they're charging for their drug now and what they plan on charging for their drug in the future, and then actually tell the Department of Financial Services why they're increasing the cost of their drug. So that's very important information, both from a state perspective as the state plans for its expenditures on prescription drugs, which is probably around $9 billion right now. So you get a heads up on what you're going to be charged, but also on a personal level that when you pick your health care plan or you're looking at your personal drug costs in the future, you could actually go, as the governor proposes, to the Department of Financial Services website and see what your drug costs now and see what it will cost in the future. So that is a very solid proposal.
And is there an expectation that with transparency, some of these companies, as they pitch what they want to charge and charge in the future, will feel essentially shamed into not charging as much? Is that a possible ramification?
Well, some states have, actually 19 states have passed drug price transparency laws, and they've seen a decline in the number of drugs that have a price increase. I don't want to say here today that all prices are going to go down and the drug manufacturers all over the country are going to come to New York and decrease all their drugs, but there has been evidence of states that have passed very similar laws to what the governor and Senate are proposing that have a downward thrust to price. And there's a filing requirements that are being done that the governor is proposing, and incentives to come in early and report your increases, and you won't be paying high filing fees. So there's an incentive for the manufacturers to come in. There's proof across the country that there is a downward shift in prices. So we think this is a very good proposal.
Ever since the arrival of COVID-19, there's been increased scrutiny and attention on our state's nursing homes. What, if anything, is the governor or the Assembly and Senate proposing to do as it pertains to, say, oversight of nursing homes, which care for some of our most vulnerable New Yorkers?
Well, there is a program that AARP and many other advocates in the aging community across the state think that it needs more funding to increase its oversight and what we call the eyes and ears of residents in New York's nursing home. And the program is called the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. Right now, if you look at this program across New York State, it's supposed to have an ombudsman go into a nursing home, 1,400 facilities, nursing homes and adult care facilities, have one ombudsman go in there once a week just to check on residents, work with family caregivers, see how the care of that individual is going in that adult care facility and nursing home. Right now, only 48% of the 4,800 facilities actually have an ombudsman go into their facility. So as far as your question, is there an oversight nursing home piece in this budget? Absolutely, yes. It's the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program to AARP. And the Senate, unfortunately, only put an additional $2 million towards that program. And the Assembly, which did a good job on this, put in close to $12.5 million. So that, you know, it's one of those things, as you know, one house does one thing, one house does the other. Same with the RX transparency. Now with the LitCop program, the Assembly did more on the drugs, the Senate did more. So it's a good start. As you know, all this will be on the table. So we're looking for each house to come together on those proposals. But I did want to mention another RX proposal, which is it's a business practice that it hasn't really been reported on a lot, both here in New York and across the country, except in trade journals. And that's that when a brand company actually has a business agreement, some kind of exchange or business agreement with a generic company, they cut a deal to keep that generic drug off the marketplace so the brand name drug can continue to make money with their drug and not compete with that generic drug. And those deals last on average, to the federal government has calculated that those deals last on average 17 months. So you can imagine, we all know brand costs more, and we all know generic costs less, that brand extends their patent, so to speak, and charges what they have charged before, which is always higher. And so it costs consumers, according to the federal government, anywhere from $3.5 billion a year. And there's a new study by Columbia Law Review down in the city, and they're saying that this could go as high as $35 billion a year, costing consumers paying for that higher-priced drug. So what the governor wants to do, and we agree with her and the Senate to a certain extent, they want drug companies who sell their drugs in New York to come in and say, hey, Department of Financial Services, they're going to make them report what those deals are, what the drug is, what disease it treats, and how long that drug's going to be off the marketplace. And we think it's a great idea. It'll all be posted on the website, all public disclosure, all transparency, and we think that's another excellent piece that's in the state budget. And the Senate wants to do it. The Senate actually wants to ban that practice, ban the two companies of making an agreement. But the state of California actually did a ban, and it got caught up in federal court on an interstate commerce clause issue. So we totally agree with the Senate to try to ban it, but we're fearful of the federal courts on this. And we agree with the governor who wants to do transparency, which we believe may escape a federal intervention from the courts. It may not, we don't know, but at least on transparency, we know that that has not been tried anywhere in the country.
Is there anything, though, that stops the health chairs and the respective houses to decide tomorrow that they want to hold a public hearing on this issue and invite these people to testify or subpoena them to testify about some of these deals and try to get answers just through that process?
I think it's an excellent idea. I think if the health chairs and the state assembly wanted to have a hearing and the industry did not want to participate, you know, they should use their legal authority to have that hearing. To date, that has not happened, but we're very encouraged in this budget negotiation. As you know, the Senate has put something on the table. The governor has put something on the table. It will be negotiated.
And potentially killed, though.
It could be potentially killed, and brings us to another topic, is that you might imagine with full transparency of pricing and these, we call them backroom deals between manufacturers and generic companies. They don't want all this to be published on a website at the Department of Financial Services. So, you know, we hear the pharmaceutical industry is not happy.
In the budget debate in 2022, a major issue was funding for home care workers. What, if anything, is being discussed right now with regards to increasing wages, the base wages for home care workers? I know one of the One House budgets talked a little bit about this, but is there something that you're hoping ends up in the final budget deal?
Yes, that's a great question, because we are very concerned at AARP about the home care system itself. We believe at AARP that we have a home care system in the state of New York that is not stable. It is not stable because everybody that AARP talks to in the provider front, the consumer front, everyone's saying the same thing. We need health care workers. They need to get paid. The legislature, as you know, and it was well reported in Albany, provided a $2 raise and a $1 raise the final year. But there was a lot of news stories, and when we talked to providers, that money didn't flow from the insurance companies that run home care in New York, the Medicaid home care. It didn't go to the providers, so they were strapped on cash. They couldn't retain employees. It was a major problem. So to go back to your original question, the Senate put in a $2 increase a year, and then another dollar on top of that, and indexed them to the minimum wage. So they'll always be above minimum wage. The Assembly didn't do the extra for an hour, but they indexed it to the middle wage. And the purpose of this is always to keep a home care employee's wage, you know, above the minimum wage. Because that's the thing. I mean, if you look at what the job home care attendants do, you know, in our opinion, it's one of the toughest jobs in New York.
Yeah.
You're keeping an older person in their home as long as possible. And not to pay these individuals a decent wage is just, it's, you know, it just strikes a chord in ARP, because every time we look at this, as I said, an unstable system, we ask our members what they want, and they always say the same thing. We want to stay in our homes as long as possible. So how do you stay in your home as long as possible?
You need
home care attendants to come in and take care of you.
That too.
If you don't have staff, you don't have stable financial home care agencies across the state, the system, in our opinion, is not strong and not sustainable, and then our members don't get what we want or what they want, and that's to stay at home. And on the same front is, when you keep an individual in their home, it costs you and I and all taxpayers in New York less money. Because if you send someone to an institution, it's more.
Is part of the conversation around home care workers to resolve that issue you talked about, which is that the state's investment in higher wages was essentially yoinked by the middlemen, the managed care plan, so that it didn't reach the agencies that are actually hiring these people? Is there any effort to adopt the language that's actually in the Be Fair to Home Care legislation that Senator Rachel May was advancing, or have we moved past that point and it's just about setting a higher wage?
And we support Senator May's bill, and we think it's a good approach. We've always thought it was a good approach. We support her on that. The Senate and the Assembly don't have the exact language of Senator May, a lot of what she's proposing, but they do have language in their bills, to your point, is to somehow make sure when the money comes through on the dollar an hour increase, that it doesn't get caught up within that managed care organization, which is a commercial insurer. It doesn't get caught up there. And it makes sure that money goes to the home care agencies so they can pay. Well, they are paying their individuals, but they're not being reimbursed.
Right.
So it's a reimbursement issue, because the managed care organization is just keeping the money in many instances, is our understanding. There's a report out there that ARP has looked at and has talked with other advocates that shows that the state's 25 managed care plans kept close to $722 million in profit in 2021. So we have a very profitable managed care system implementing the Medicaid home care services in New York through home care agencies. And it just appears from ARPs, talking with advocates, talking with providers, a lot of media reports out there, talking to legislators, that money is not flowing to the home care agencies. And that's a problem. And the Senate and the Assembly want to do something about that, which is really good. I think it's something like that should absolutely be part of the discussions as we move forward in the budget to stabilize the home care system in New York.
Well, we've been speaking with Bill Ferris. He's a legislative representative for AARP in New York. Bill, thank you so much for making the time and visiting us in the studio.
Thank you very much, Dave.
And for more Capital Press Room content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capital Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information. Join us again for Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.